these people and their physicians were asked to discontinue a treatment that they have been taking for years within 4 to 6 weeks after the change in the political situation in Crimea, which was an extremely abrupt way of discontinuing treatment, and somewhere even contrasting with the fact that otherwise the Crimean authorities had said that people in Crimea would have until the end of year 2014 to change the administrative and legal and banking system from the Ukrainian system to the Russian system.
What's happening to these people now who are not receiving this substitute therapy?
Well, from the information I have been gathering from various sources, that is from patients, from their families, on-site discussions, meeting with some of the NGOs, meeting with physicians, taking all of that information together, there are three conclusions that would answer your question. Number one, everyone who is alive from that cohort of patients has gone back to illegal street drugs. Number two, somewhere between 80 and 100, so let's say at least 10% of these patients have died, mostly of overdose and suicide, which are two causes of death that we know from the literature are at high risk of occurring when methadone is abruptly discontinued. And third, most of the patients who had to stop abruptly these drugs underwent very painful withdrawal symptoms because physicians in the regions were not prepared for helping these patients in that decrease. They had no experience and not necessarily the medicines to give to help avoid the occurrence of those symptoms.
And how many people are we talking about here?
We're talking about a cohort of the little over 800 people who were registered as receiving methadone in Crimea prior to April 2014. Of which, as I'm saying, at least 80 have now died.
Now, what can be done to deal with this situation?
I think drawing the attention of the international community and continuing engaging in a dialogue with the Russian Federation and a dialogue that would try and place public health and the UN recommendations for treatment and prevention in the center of the discussion rather than only looking at people who inject drugs and use drugs from a law enforcement perspective. I do not expect that dialogue to be easy.
Why do you think the dialogue won't be easy?
The dialogue won't be easy because currently the Russian authorities, and let me say, Russia is not the only country in the region and in the world that has that interpretation, but they interpret the international conventions on drugs, particularly the 1988 convention, they interpret the convention by saying that the use of opiates for non-medical purposes is and should be prohibited. Now, they do not consider substance therapy as a treatment. They say the evidence is not sufficient, whereas I'm saying that it's one of the most comprehensive and compelling evidence we have on preventing HIV among a given population here, the people who use drugs. They say they do not recognize the evidence, therefore they do not recognize that this would be a medical use of those substances, therefore those substances should be prohibited.
And now finally, are you optimistic that they may eventually change that position and see things the way you see them?
I can't say I would be optimistic. I think it will take time. Unfortunately, it will take a number of patients becoming infected with HIV and a number of deaths. But I do hope, and I think that is our role in the United Nations to promote, I hope that at the end, the science and the medical evidence will prevail over any other consideration in policymaking.